We're calling Ronnie now. Hey, he's answered for the first three calls, but he could stand us up for the last one. You never know, right?
He knows we're looking for him. See, even he doesn't want to go.
It's too hard to say goodbye.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. See, you can hit that high note. I can't.
Hi, this is Soraya.
And this is Jeff.
Our podcast is called Paisley Stage Raspberry and Rhyme.
A podcast where the two of us play music that we like and share anecdotes and background about the tunes.
We hope you'll join our conversation. And without further ado, agarubiar.
Let's get groovy.
Ronnie, join.
I'm here.
Turn on your camera, bro.
Oh, hang on.
Ronnie, are you there?
Wow, keep the singing up. Oh, look at that sign. Oh.
Ron, we're so sad. We are super sad.
You guys will be back to normal next week.
No, abnormal. Yeah, Ronnie. All right, just tell me.
All right, so it's come to this, right? So, Soraya,
are we on the air?
We are.
Okay.
Video and audio, so.
Nice.
Yeah, so keep the Donald ducking camera on the upper
hand. Yeah, exactly. Keep it up here. So
now that
I didn't mean to step on.
At the end, I expect full Donald Duck.
That's full right. Donald what are you going to do? Kick me off at that point? No.
Now that you guys have corrupted me by teaching me this new language, I've already used it four times in the last week. So.
Who's corrupted who, huh? Who's
corrupted? I stand accused.
Jacques. Jeff, today is a very sad day.
It is, because we're...
And for our listeners, it is a great day, but we have bittersweet feelings and lots of melancholy. Today is part four in our side project series with the one and only Ronnie Barnett.
Yes.
In part
I'm trying to get the lighting better. You guys have good lighting. I don't. Let's see.
Optimal lighting. Camera, you know, camera angle the, down for best benefits of...
Yeah.
Ooh, it's going to have to do. Okay.
And today we're focusing on Rain Parade and their members' side projects. But... Ronnie, it is really sad to know that this is our last gathering.
Aw, you guys, we'll be together again. We got some ideas. Yeah.
We'll be together. Okay, Jeff.
All right. So there's quite a few projects that we mentioned that are coming up. And all of us, as we normally do, we each came up with two songs. And I was actually quite surprised at... the four that you guys came up with, the two between you, very surprising to me. I had made some guesses on who I thought you guys would pick or what bands that you would pick, and none of them came through. So listening to all six of these songs, I'm a little bit biased with Rain Parade, but I think this might be our best show yet for songs. I think all six of these are like killer tracks, but... as we normally do, we'll start with Ronnie for Rain Parade side projects. Why don't you tell our listeners what you came up with?
All right. Well, it's Rain Parade, so we're going to have to pick a Matt Piucci. That's how I say his last name. I don't know if that's correct.
Yes.
Piucci.
Matt? Yeah, Piucci. I had to pick a song from the Helene's last record, which is Matt's band. I don't want to call it a side project. It's basically the Rain Parade without Steven. You know, this is a beautiful song from their last record, which is called "I Love You All the Animals."
So good, such a
grammatically correct sentence there. this is one of the most beautiful songs I've heard in the last 10 years, and it's the last song on the album. And Jim Hill mentioned this song too on your episode, but the song's called "Water."
Thank you.
Such a beautiful song.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, one of the things we probably all love about the Rain Parade are these moments of just, like, shimmering beauty they have, whether, you know, like, those parts in Broken Horse, or, you know, their catalog is full of them, and that song just gives me the chills. And Matt, you're a good singer.
Yes.
You probably don't think yourself as a good singer, but you have a beautiful voice, and man, I dare anyone to challenge that song as a perfect closer and just beautiful song.
Yeah, it's a great way to close out the album, right? And we have had those kind of talks before on what kind of songs would be good closers, because sometimes you want to go out with just like full crazy hard rock and energy, but this just is, it's a beautiful way to close out this record. And this is one of those records, it was my favorite of that year when it came out, and just the songs on here are just fabulous. This one included.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a Rain Parade fan, you really need to search this one out. It's available there online. It's all things Rain Parade these days. Not the easiest to find in a store, but you can find them online.
Yeah.
Both.
And we've mentioned the website that Matt also sells the CDs through, haven't we, Jeff?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we need to post another link, because Helene's and all these projects that he's involved with, wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, Matt's out there. I didn't have the Matt's first solo album, which is called Helene's.
Right, right.
I ordered a new copy on Discogs. It was from Matt.
Yeah.
He wrote a little note. Hey, Ronnie. Yeah, I had no.
Yeah.
So.
How great is that to get a personally sent out by the artist, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, all the money's going into his pocket, which is not.
Yeah.
So.
And that's a little bit confusing, because the Matt Piucci solo album is called Helene's, and then the band name, which is the same band, the artist is the Helene. So it's a little bit confusing, but it's Matt Piucci, whatever it is. And same guys.
Never question it.
Yeah.
There's a few bands, I think, that have morphed into the name of an album. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but there have been a few.
Yeah. Yeah. That brings us to you, Soraya. I know you got a couple great picks. Which one are you going with first?
So I am going with another Matt Piucci and a few other people from Rain Parade Project, and it's called Boat Club. And the song I picked is called She's Giving Me a Flower. And I'll talk about it after. This appealed to me for a number of reasons, but it's just a really cool song. Okay, first of all, I agree with Ronnie. Matt Pucci has this beautiful voice, and his compositions, the adjective that keeps coming up for me is dreamy. Like, it's like being in a dream state, you know, it's very ethereal, and there's this, you know, that really cool break in the middle of the song where they slow it down and the guitars just start speaking. It's like, you know, you're just off in dreamland. And then his voice pulls you back in, and they finish the song, and you know, I just think it's a really cool tune, and it's a really cohesive song for me. I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's a great one. Ronnie, are you familiar with Boat Club?
No, I'm glad you brought this up, Soroy. I missed this somehow, so I will have to Soraya is holding it up for those just listening at home.
I
missed out on this. What year is this from?
2008.
Okay.
And it's self-titled, Boat Club.
I will be doing my research after this episode.
Yeah.
It sounded great. Yeah.
All right, Jeff.
All right.
Round out round one. Well, who did you pick?
Well, I went with Stephen Robeck's song, and I'm really glad that you guys both started off with Matt songs, because I was debating on whether I should pick a Matt song. So I kind of had that in my side pocket, and I figured if I let you guys go first, we'll see if he gets covered. And I thought we did a pretty good job on the Matt episodes of talking about him, but Viva Saturn is a project that Stephen Robeck was a part of, and he put out an EP on Pat Thomas's Heyday record, and a couple full-length albums, one in 1992, Sound Mine, and one in 95 on Restless Records. Brightside was the name of the album. And the song I'm going with is a song called Black Cloud. I absolutely love this song. It was really hard for me to narrow down to one Viva Saturn song, because I absolutely love what Steven does when he writes songs and his delivery, his vocal delivery. This song, Black Cloud, also came out on a flexi disc that I picked up from Pat Thomas. It was a song that, or a flexi disc that came with Revolver magazine in 1992. So you can also find it there. But I was thinking, out of the four episodes that we've done together, I have an accordion in three of the four. So the first one I did, Mary's Danish, and Julie Ritter played an accordion. Then on the next episode, I had a Continental Drifter song, and Peter Hossappel played accordion. And you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but I think this song starts out with an accordion. It's either that, or it could be a keyboard, but this was from 1995 Restless Records album, Bright Side. It's the second song on the album. It'll take me a little bit to cue it up, but the song's called Black Cloud. So you guys, listen to this and let me know if you think this starts with accordion. So what's the verdict? Does it sound like that could have been an accordion?
I'm no expert, but it sounds to me like it's an organ and an accordion.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I definitely hear the accordion in there.
That's what I thought. I didn't know if it was that or melodica or...
And I know they're trying to morph this podcast into an accordion-heavy thing.
And why wouldn't I?
Yeah, I might have to take Jeff's plan.
Yeah,
he's going full accordion. Yeah, no, that's a fantastic song. I wanted to pick a Viva Saturn song as well, but I didn't want to hog, you know, Matt and Stevens, both main other bands.
Right. So. Yeah, I just love how it goes into it builds up into that chorus, and then when he sings, "You're so fine to make him feel so good," or whatever the chorus is. I just love. Melodically how it builds up into that, and when that chorus hits, it's just like, oh, like I'm in heaven, just his delivery. And to me, all of the individuals that are in Rain Parade really have their fingerprints in their music, but what Steven brings, not only as a songwriter and a lyricist, his vocals delivery, just it's really touching to me. And it's no exception in Viva Saturn. So had to bring one of their songs to the table, and I absolutely love Black Cloud. So if you don't have Bright Side yet, I recommend you get it. That's probably their strongest effort and the last release that he put out, and that was in 95. So that was Black Cloud.
Yeah, Steven, we could use another solo album from you at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? 100%. Yes, please.
He's someone that I think just doesn't get talked about enough for his contributions, and he's spectacular. And you know, when Jeff and I were up in the Bay Area in May to see Rain Parade, the nicest guy you'll ever talk to, humble, quiet, but the things that come out of it, like the ideas and all the expressions that come out of his head and his mouth, you're just like, wait, what? Who are you, and how come I haven't heard this before? And he was very generous with his time with us, but you know, and Jeff and I kept pushing, like, more new material anywhere, anytime. He's like, hey, we're working on stuff. It's coming. But you just see there's this really quiet leadership in him. And then when you hear that voice come out and the words that he expresses, it's like, how come I don't have more? How come there's not another solo album? How come there isn't just more stuff from you? So, yeah, I'm on board. I'm on board, Jeff.
Now, besides that beautiful voice, his bass playing is, you know, the cornerstone of the band. Like, so melodic and so great. And,
yeah.
I know, we're preaching to the converted amongst us. talking up Stephen Roback, yeah. But,
yeah, so one of the things that we learned on the Crashing Dream episode that we had, when I made the statement that Rain Parade doesn't have a bad song, which is my personal opinion, I think the response was something like, we're not prolific, but we'll work on it to death until it's the best quality that we could put out. So, yeah.
There's something to be said for that, too. Having just quality, your whole output, even if it's just a few records, is all quality and not, you know, mucked up with marginal stuff. And that's definitely true about the Rain Parade.
As much as I want more. That is a true statement.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Ronnie. So it sounds like you're not going with a Steven song, and you already did a Matthew song, so...
Okay. Yeah, well, I knew we would talk a lot about Matt and Steven, and...
As we should,
As we should, of course. But I wanted to give... I know we talked about Gil Ray in another of these episodes, but... I just wanted to bring him up in the context of the Rain Parade. So I picked a band he was in when he was still in Charlotte, North Carolina, Yeggs. A band he had with Jamie Hoover from the form of the Spongetones around the same time. And you'll hear what they sound like here.
And the name of the band?
The Happy Yeggs.
Okay, here comes some rock and roll. Without my rocking stick. I can't leave it.
can.
Like you.
I can.
I will.
Lose it.
Like you.
Help me.
Make me.
Bomb
me.
Like you.
Nice.
I love it.
I love it, yeah. Too. I had no idea.
You can tell what era that's from, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So where were they based out of? You said Charlotte, North Carolina?
From Charlotte, North Carolina, which was where Gil was from. And, God, there's a lot of... That song. Imagine trying to learn that song. There's actually a lot going on in that.
But, yeah. I would have guessed...
That's not simple punk rock.
I would have guessed they were a New York band. It has, like, a CBGB's... Early CBGB's kind of vibe to me.
Yeah, that era, when I think about that new wave era at that time, all these bands just popped up out of nowhere, just fully formed. You know, the B-52s is a great example. Like, if you watch videos of them, 78, they are exactly the same. Like, Rock Lobster is the exact same arrangement. Like, it freaks me out. But, yeah, the Happy Eggs, Gil had played in all sorts of bands, you know. Even disco bands. And the other guy, Jamie Hoover, just talk about him for a second. I mean, the Sponge Tones are an amazing power pop band, very Beatle-y, still around to this day, still based in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
And and he was the main guy in the Happy Eggs there. The Happy Eggs' first record is like white vinyl with a yellow label. Get it? So it looks like an egg.
Nice. The label's the yolk.
as we know, yeah, Gil made his way out west and joined Game Theory, and when the Rain Parade were first reformed in 2011, 2012, whenever it was, I remember seeing on Facebook Matt kind of looking around for drummers. You know, I can anyone find Mark Markham? Somebody like suggested him, and. The marriage, they found Gil Ray, and he is so important to the reforming of the Rain Parade, in my opinion. Like, if you hear that live CD of their first gig, and of course that he played those shows at the Fonda and the Fillmore, and Gil was just perfect for the Rain Parade. He sounds so good with them, and just such a sweet guy and such a great drummer. And I just wanted to give him a little credit for the reformed Rain Parade.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. Yeah, so what, I knew he played with him on the Fonda gig and the San Francisco gig. Did you say that he played with him a few shows before that as well?
Yeah, he did the first one, the one there's the CD of at Cafe du Nord or whatever it is.
Oh,
in San
Francisco. And he plays
on
that.
And then he did, they did like, what, the Psych Fest, whatever it is in Austin.
Right, right.
And he played with them until he physically couldn't anymore.
Oh.
You know, Gil got sick and had cancer and physically couldn't do it anymore.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he would have played all the gigs up until 2015, 2016. Yeah, I'm not sure on my dates, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that part of the story, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he just sat in for a couple gigs, but it sounded like he was, like you mentioned, he was part of the reformed band. So
he was the guy, yeah, no, he was the guy when they reformed.
Wow.
So,
I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, go back and watch those videos. Watch that video, which I think you uploaded, Jeff.
I did.
Of the Fonda show.
Yeah.
Still there for everyone to watch. And, man, Rain Parade opened that show, and I didn't think anybody would be able to follow him.
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. All right, that was a great song. I'm glad you brought that up. I had no clue who Happy Eggs
were. I might need to find that because that sounds real fun.
There's a reissue. They made that 12-inch, and then they made a 4-song 7-inch in '81, which they actually reissued, before Gil passed away. So I think you can still find that at a reasonable price.
I'm gonna go hunting for that before we actually post this video. How's that?
Yeah, before the rush goes on.
So, look for two, Jeff. Look for two.
So I feel like one of those record store clerks who get the first pick at all the great used stuff that comes in, and or record store day stuff, and they put it in their little... You don't know about this, Ronnie. But some of these record store clerks, they'll put stuff away even before the public has a chance to get to it, so...
You're damn right. I got that first.
Awesome. Thanks for that one.
Well, that was absolutely. Good.
That was awesome.
Soraya.
All right. So I also strayed from Matt Pucci and Stephen Roback, and I went to Mark Hanley, their keyboardist. But Mark Hanley can play just about everything under the sun. He's got two solo releases, and the track I picked is from a second one from 2015. It's called A Mark Supreme, and the track is called Club.
There's a feeling of calm, still I'm not letting go of your arm. You're not surprised when I cut you up to size. Yeah, but we're all on board. Someone had to fall on the soul. There lies the rub. Welcome to the club. Since I've been waiting so long.
So, Mark Hanley, huh?
Mark Hanley, let me tell you, the guy writes a damn good song. And on this album, there are some tracks where, like, the lyrics are deep. But I went with this one because hats off to anyone who can incorporate into a song the line, "Therein lies the rub." She did. And I'm like, how can you do that and not be Shakespearean? But... It's a guy that knows how to work lyrics, and he wrote a pretty, but that song in particular is just fun. It's a fun song. And one of the things that I love about Rain Parade and I love about Mark Hanley is he has beautiful, he'll work a really great harmony. And so, like, I could pick his voice, and I knew Matt Pucci was on that track. And anyone that he surrounded himself with for these recordings, I mean, beautiful harmonies, nice tune, fun. And there's also a little bit of a break too with a little different sort of guitar working. I just thought it was really cool. Like it a lot. And by the way, we will be having Mark Hanley on the show in a couple of weeks. So yeah. I'm excited to talk to him about his stuff.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to.
That hurts.
Just kidding. I like these choices, Soraya. You've given the other guys some love, and these are both things I never heard before, and I'm wonderful. Yeah, great.
I learned. Learn, Ronnie, I learned. All right, Jeff.
All right, so.
What you got?
Well, you guys know how ultra competitive I am, and Ronnie picked a song that was 6 minutes and 50 seconds, and not to be outdone, I want to be bigger and longer than Ronnie, so I'm much shorter.
How much could be said with that comment?
Not touching that one.
Well, we could make arrangements for that, but anyway, so I picked a song that was seven minutes and 6 seconds long, and I went with a song that David Roback was a part of. So David Roback, as we know, was in Rain Parade in the early days, so when they first started. And apparently that didn't last too long, because by the time the record came out, he was already no longer in Rain Parade. But he is on the band's first album. By the time the band came around for their EP, their next release, he was long gone. In my opinion, I loved what David contributed, but the band was still amazing. Like, that EP just proves what a great band they were. And in Matt's opinion, it was almost a different band entirely. But anyway, so shortly after the first album came out, we talked about the Rainy Day Project, which David Roback was a big part of. There was a record that came out, and the artist's name was Kendra Smith, David Roback, and Keith Mitchell. It had a few songs on it, and I just absolutely loved the vibe that those three put out. So the song that I'm picking is called Lullaby, and I found the artist listed as all three of those names, Kendra Smith, David Roback, Keith Mitchell. I've also found that song listed as the artist as Clay Allison, which they went by for a while, and then ultimately Opal. And you can find the artist listed as Opal for the song Lullaby, and eventually Opal morphed into what became Mazzy Star. So I was thinking about going with a Mazzy Star song, but I think people can hear Mazzy Star on the radio, or at least you could have for a while. So this song, it's very, very, very low key. It's almost like a drone. It's called Lullaby, so it could actually put you to sleep. It's not a driving song, that's for sure. But I just love the vibe of it. So I'll play that now, and we'll talk about it afterwards. But super vibey. Lullaby by Opal or Clay Allison or David Roback, Kendra Smith, and Keith Mitchell. Here we go.
Smaller than you used to be. High.
All right, so that's a long one. So I think I got you beat by about 15 seconds, Ronnie.
I need to pick another song then. yeah, let's call that Clay Allison, because I'm pretty sure they had the name and then had to drop it before that EP came out, which I think is why the band members' names are listed.
Oh, is that why?
I'm pretty sure that's the order of things. So, I know they formed as Clay Allison. So
that was what they were originally.
Yeah.
So I think you can find a cassette, or they put out a cassette. I don't know if it went out officially. Maybe it was something that they were looking for a label, perhaps. But it's listed as Clay Allison. But by the time the regular release came out, it had the individual names. And then
there's a bootleg album, Clay Allison album, out there too. I don't know if you guys have it. It's on my shelf somewhere, but it's more stuff.
Yeah, and then Rough Trade eventually put out in 89 the Opal record called Early Recordings, and it was a lot of the singles and 12 inches. But yeah, that song is just, to me, super vibey. And I've thought about what makes music good to me, or certain bands or certain songs, and I used to say there's three elements for me, and one is creativity, one is passion, and one is energy. So there's songs or bands rather, like The Residents, to me it's super creative. I don't know if I would describe them as energetic necessarily, but they just fill that role of being ultra creative, and to me it's their creativity is off the charts. It makes it so cool to listen to. And then you got bands like the Ramones, let's say, that are just have energy, right? There's tons of energy, and that energy just pops off the vinyl or the CD or whatever. And then there's bands that are really passionate. I think of maybe Husker Du is a band that's really passionate. And then every once in a while I'll find a band that could get all three of those. To me, maybe the New Pornographers, they're a little bit different, not super creative, not Residents creative, but different than a lot of stuff you hear, and there's passion in their voices and there's energy on some of those songs. But that being said, I've added a fourth category recently, and it's vibe. And I think Opal is the thing I liked about Opal was they're super vibey. And bands like Early Shins, that kind of stuff is just it's got such a cool vibe to it that it just pulls me in. And that's what I loved about this song, is the vibe of Lullaby. But yeah, and David Roback doesn't sing a lot of songs, but this is one where you hear him on lead vocals. So Anyways, that's why I went with that. Love the song. Had to bring it to the table.
Wonderful song. I just want to tell a story about Opal. I think it was 86 or 87, and I went to see Jesus and Mary Chain with Opal opening in my hometown of Houston.
No.
Okay. They had dark lights on stage. I watched them, loved the show, and it was only a year later or so when I read that was not Kendra Smith singing. It was Hope Sandoval. They made no mention of that. They just went on, and when I started reading interviews, when Mazzy Star started, that's when Hope kind of came into the band, I was like, oh my God, I had no idea.
Wow.
Because there was a girl with, hair in her face singing on stage. I didn't know.
With low lighting, right? You had low lighting.
It was low lighting. Yeah. It was low lighting for both bands, let's face it. So for a year or two, I thought I saw Opal with Kendra Smith. But
wow.
Great show regardless.
So in actuality, you saw Mazzy Star, early incarnation of Mazzy Star.
And actually, I saw Mazzy Star performing Opal songs.
Wow. So, interestingly enough, I saw Mazzy Star for the first time last year when they played at the Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. First time I've seen a band at that venue. And it was so dark. I could not even make out what was on stage. Not even silhouettes. There wasn't even backlighting. And I didn't know if that was an artistic choice. I imagine it was, or if they're just so shy between Hope and David. But I gotta say, I was a little bit upset by it, because I paid to see them, and I could hear them, and they sounded great, but I couldn't make out anything that was on stage. And I'm trying to squint my eyes and see if I can make out. Like, I don't even know who was on stage, how many people were on stage, but...
It was probably a little both of them wanting things dark and it being in a venue that doesn't have... It's probably the only show there's been at that venue as far as, you know, we know.
I think I actually heard that Echo and the Bunnymen, like, played there a month or two prior to that Mazzy Star show, if I'm not mistaken. It could have been a different venue, but it was also at a church, so...
Also, speaking of Mazzy Star, we should mention Will Glenn, who was a huge part of the Rain Parade, as well as Mazzy Star. Just a great player and just essential to those bands. And upstairs in my attic somewhere, I have Will Glenn's Optagon, which is some kind of keyboard thing that plays like floppy disks. He was working on it when he passed away. And his girlfriend, when he passed away, met my roommate who started talking about Will, and she said, "You should have this thing." And I talked him into giving it to me. So I have that upstairs in my house.
Wow.
Ronnie, one day when you decide to venture up there, you got to let us see it.
Okay, yeah.
Man.
I'll bring my flashlight. And, I should bring it downstairs, actually.
What a great keepsake. Wow.
Yeah, I think so too. It's not the smallest item in the world, but
I cannot imagine that it is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. But it's in good hands. It's in the proper hands.
It ended up in the proper hands. Looking back, she probably wanted to get rid of it and found someone that she considered being proper hands, and then that person I talked out of it.
Nice.
Never get into negotiations with Ronnie.
Wow.
I will lose every time.
No.
Yeah, so the one time I saw Opal perform was with Firehose at UCSD. Yeah, it was an outdoor performance, and it was one of those things, kind of like, Soraya, when we had our listening party for the Salvation Army at the park, where it's not exactly like an amphitheater, but... the band performed on a concrete slab, and then the audience was on a grassy knoll, if you will, so a little grassy hill, and it was packed with people, and Opal was performing, and Ronnie, you mentioned Will Glenn, he was performing with them. I think he had dyed his hair like, what do they call it, like platinum blonde at the time when they were performing, and we should once again mention that Kendra Smith was their lead singer from early Dream Syndicate, right? So she was the singer for Opal. So great tie in there. So let me run through my little list. It's not as long, so I can go through this pretty quick. So my initial list I came up with for side projects, what have you, for Rain Parade. So Matt Pucci, the Gone Fishing that he did with Tim Lee.
Yes.
So,
I almost picked a song from that too. I'm glad you brought that up. What a great record that is.
It's good, right? It's really, really good.
It's unbelievably great.
I love that one. And then Boat Club, Ronnie, check that one out. So thank you for bringing that, Soraya. And then Crazy Horse, he played with them for a while, and on that one album, he had funny stories about that. Rainy Day, Helene's, that Helene's record, amazing. Stephen Roback, Viva Saturn, and then he had a project called Snowy. I don't have anything by them, but I was able to find a couple tracks online. Worth checking out, but I've got to look and see if I can get a copy of that. I think it was a CD-only release. And then David Roback, we mentioned, Clay Allison, Opal, Mazzy Star, and then drummer Mark Markham was in a band called Saving Grace. John Thoman, I almost pulled up a track from a band that he worked with called Ghost House, and there's some ties with Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn produced an album or two of theirs, and they actually do a couple Steve Wynn songs or Dream Syndicate songs. They're worth checking out. Still She Waits was the song. It was my third track, if we were given three. Again, that's Ghost House. And John Thoman was also in a band called Empty Set. And then he worked with Chris Kakavas on that Junkyard Love project that we talked about early. Derek C., who's been playing with the band recently, we know he was in Gentle Cycle. We highlighted them on an episode. Also, the Chocolate Watch Band, he's been playing with them the last few years. And Bang Girl Group Review. And Ronnie, thank you for bringing Gil Ray to the table and highlighting the work that he's done. So he was, of course, in Game Theory and Loud Family. And he's got a solo album or two that I think was recent. One of them was recently reissued or issued. And a band
still
called,
out there. You could still get that, I believe.
I don't have that.
From 125 Records, yeah.
And then he was also in a band called Fade to Black and Happy Eggs, and he performed with other people. So, again, this is not an exhaustive list, but some of the bands that we found in our research that came out that these Rain Parade guys were a part of. So,
wait, can people see this?
Yes. I'll describe it, too.
This is one of my prized possessions. This was a band Gil was in.
So you're holding up a promo picture.
Gil right here.
Rhapsody.
The band is called Rhapsody. Yeah.
Which I think was a disco-y thing. Sorry for the glare. There you go. So that's Gil there. And a good story about this is they figured out they could make more money if they had more members. So this guy here. No, this guy here.
Right.
Was actually the photographer.
what?
So they got, I don't know where they got the matching suits, but they got him in the photo as well.
Wow. Wow.
Gil told me that story. It's one of my favorite stories. And I'm so happy that I was able to get one of these. Rhapsody.
Wow.
With Gil Ray.
What about that collar, that lapel? Like, wow.
Oh, I mean, you know, back in the day, Jeff, while we were still young, I was actually still young at this point, but
wow.
Yeah, the big East-West collars.
So Rhapsody.
Of the 70s.
Do you happen to know if they released anything?
Rhapsody? No. As far as I know, nothing recorded. I can check with Gil's
wow.
Gil's wife about that.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's
sure,
great.
Of course.
That's
good. Man.
I have it handy. I didn't even have that handy because of this episode. I just have that handy.
it's always exactly. Arm length away.
Centerpiece in your house. Exactly. Everybody look at Gil Ray.
You saw it. I love it. Yeah.
That's awesome. So. Oh my God.
Perfect. Right next to the Charlie Daniels.
Yeah, that's in the other. Yeah. That's another story.
And you can take the man out of the South, but you can't take the South out of the North.
Yes.
Oh my heavens.
So true.
Man. Oh, Jeff, say it ain't so.
You don't want to say goodbye.
I never want to say goodbye. Ronnie, don't go.
Never want to say goodbye.
I know. Guys.
Baby, please don't go.
Please don't go. But, Ronnie, we're going to have you back on.
Yes.
To talk about your own music.
Yes.
But also some other things that you've suggested that we talk about at length, and we'd love to have you back on. I hope you will come back on.
Yes.
Of course, anytime, you guys. I got more ideas.
That's what we want. Because Lord knows, Jeff and I at the helm.
You're not done with me yet, so.
So
thanks for having me along on this.
Yeah, namely Game Theory. We definitely need to have you back on for Game Theory, among others, but definitely.
Game Theory, Muffs. Remember Muffs' new album coming out in October?
Yes.
2019.
Thank
you. So yes. we need more Ronnie Barnett.
Thanks you guys. It's a pleasure. This Game Theory thing will probably be a two-parter, if not a three-parter, because I've already got a list of who we're gonna need
four.
To talk to.
Oh,
why
nice.
Make it four?
Nice.
So
I'm game, and then it's up to you two, because Lord knows I won't find it, but it's up to you two to find the longest game theory track you can find. Yeah. On your mark, it's a go.
Mine is longer than yours.
I'm willing to bet that they're out there, live or otherwise. I'm willing to bet there are some long Game Theory.
I never thought me and Jeff would end up in a who's longest thing. But,
yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Here we are.
Yeah.
I ain't saying one word.
All right.
So, Jeff, before we go, just a little reminder, too, that while this is the fourth in the four-part series with Ronnie, definitely not the end, but we do also return next week with a second part of an interview with Joel Nolte of The Last.
Yes.
A little reminder for those of you in the Southern California area and wherever else too. The Last will be playing in its entirety, LA Explosion, 40th anniversary of LA Explosion, at Alex's Bar on August the 18th. And a pretty killer lineup too. And we spoke with Joe Nolte again and walked through Lolita, SST, and then the final release from 2013, Danger, on yes. And I just went.
And then,
sorry,
it's okay. Danger, it's not, last it's not that important. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
it's always important. It's always important.
We also learned why the lineup
In Sound's record.
In Sound, yes. We also learned why the lineup is going to be what it is for the LA Explosion gig, and why it isn't what it isn't, if that makes any sense. So,
it actually does.
It sounds like it's going to be an amazing show. They're going to play LA Explosion in its entirety from beginning to end, in order that the album came out on, and other great bands.
Let's also mention the Zeros are on that bill.
Wow.
Another legendary
yes.
Southern California band who would make a great episode
in and of itself. Okay, I'm writing it down. For Ronnie. Yeah. Zeros.
Yeah.
Game Theory.
Oh, yeah.
So the Zeros, the Alley Cats, and Trotsky Ice pick, as well as The Last.
That's right.
So that's a killer day in and of itself.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough call for Southern California folks, because that same day, there's also a Wild Honey event with Dan Wilson and those, what are they called? Those Pretty Wrongs. That's on the
with
same.
Jody Stevens.
Yeah, with Jody Stevens from Big Star. I went to see that. They did that same thing about three or four years ago. The same show with Dan Wilson, who was from Semisonic, and Those Pretty Wrongs. And it was a fabulous show. So it's the same day. The LA Explosion show starts at 2. The Wild Honey show, I believe, is at 7 p.m., perhaps?
It's probably like 4.
Oh, okay.
They can't go too late into the night.
Though, okay. So. Yeah, so I think So I think folks are going to have to make a decision if they're interested in either one of those, or both, in my case. So,
That Jody Stevens, very nice.
Yeah.
I'll go out on a limb. Very nice guy.
Yes. Yeah. I had an opportunity to talk to him for a couple of minutes, and he had no clue who I was, but the way he treated me, I felt like I was an old friend of his, and he had no clue who I was. I was just
And the man still has amazing hair. What's amazing?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some are gifted.
It's not a wig, folks.
Yeah. He doesn't have to throw on a black beret to cover up his balding head, so that's nice. So, yeah. Yeah. Here's to you, Jody.
I'll be going hat soon, too. I always tell my girlfriend, get used to it. The hat era is coming.
the hat years. All right.
All right. So I've been anxiously awaiting this sign-off by Ronnie Barnett.
Wait, so we have to do ours first.
Okay. Gente Agrubiar.
Groove on, Paisley people.
Everybody loves somebody sometime.
Mic drop.
Bye, y'all. I'll see you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
But it's not just Los Angeles either. It's really all of America right now. It's really brewing. There's something bubbling under. You know, we've been around a few times, and you see in like every small town you go to, there's a music scene, and like
a lot of great bands, lots of them.
Yeah, you walk into like a dive in Kent, Ohio, and you know there's like a million kids hanging out, and there's great bands. You know, take a tape recorder around the country and become a millionaire.
Yeah. What's the name of that band?
Your lyrics, the lyrics have been described as soft psychedelic visions. It's a wonderful phrase. It begs the question.
Sounds good, huh?
It does, doesn't it? Yes, but it begs the question, psychedelia, whatever it is, I mean, is tied in or has been tied in with drugs, and do you feel that that's anything to do? I mean, do you take the odd LSD trip or something along the way?
Well,
music, music is really the only drug, you know? I mean, everybody can do what they want, you know? You can explore, you know? But you gotta be able to feel, to listen to music, to make music. And so I think sometimes drugs can, in the long run, take away from that.
Acid's like Cleveland, you know, once you've been there 20 times, you really don't want to go back.